Well, this is the business end of the ship, the back deck, and these containers here we're going to be operating from. So we'll spend all of our time in these containers looking at the computer screens of the sonar image that tell us whether we found the wreck or not. So 24 hours a day, these containers will be operated with, or full of people operating that equipment. And beyond that are the two heavy winches, both fitted with cable, from which we tow our sonar off the back end of the ship.
You've told media that you might be hoping for an early Christmas present for the family of the survivors.
You know, there's no way to predict when we're going to find the Centaur. We've got a finite amount of funding. That means a finite number of days at sea. It equates to roughly about 30 to 35 days. So we could find it literally on the first day, or we could find it literally on the last day.
And what about your crew, David? Who's along for the ride?
Well, we have 30 people on board. It's separated between the marine crew who are actually running the ship. That's 16 of them. Then 14 are the search team, two government observers, one from the Commonwealth government, a Department of Defense or an Army major. Arthur Dugdale is on board. And we also have Ed Slaughter from the Queensland government. He's the historic shipwreck officer. And then the search team from Williamson and Associates in Seattle, Washington.
There's been a lot of talk about the alleged location. Fishermen have said that they avoid a certain area because their nets get caught up. There was the last known position from the ship's navigator as the boat was going down. How have you seen those items of evidence, if you can call them evidence?
At the end of the day, there's only one bona fide, precise position for the reported sinking from a first-hand witness, you know, somebody who was there, and that's from the navigator, Gordon Rippon. And that's the position we're focusing on. So all of my research and analysis has been on trying to determine whether that is a creditable and accurate position, whether Gordon Rippon, whether he was a creditable witness to the whole event. And my judgment is he was. In terms of what the fishermen talk about, and I've personally spoken to or had information from six different fishermen who all point to a position about 8 to 9 miles directly east of Cape Morton, and that is a well-known wreck that obviously they're snagging their nets on. Their fish finders, echo finders found it, but it's also been proven that that is not the Centaur. It's a wreck of a ship called the Kyogle, and it's much shorter than the Centaur. Apparently it's only 50 meters as opposed to 94 meters.
Do you have any idea what happens when and if you do find it?
This is the gravesite of many, many people. So this is on a strict look but don't touch basis. This is a protected wreck that will be protected forever. And so we will only observe, not touch.
So you head off tonight?
We're aiming for heading out tonight. There's still a lot of work to be done today. This is not a mobilization that's been completed. It's a mobilization in progress. And if everything goes well, we could get out tonight. But whether we get out tonight or tomorrow, I'm not too worried. We're still pretty much on schedule, or even a little bit ahead of schedule.
And what are conditions like on board? This is it's not the newest ship I've ever seen,
no.
Mr. Burns.
No, it's not a new one, but we're grateful to have it, so I'm not going to say anything against it. I like old ships. Now, it was built in 1980, but it'll do the job. And, you know, it's a big ship, but still, it's not a lot of space. Behind me in the superstructure, it's mostly cabins and bunks. There aren't lounges. There's not a gym. You know, we're going to be spending all of our time in these air-conditioned huts. So it's very much a job to be done. And, you know, I think what people should understand is we've all signed on here knowing that if the search becomes protracted, we're going straight through Christmas, straight through New Year's, and we're all giving up our holidays to do that.
You told a story earlier about the Titanic, and the search for that vessel took up to 40 days.
But 40 days, that one, yeah.
But your technology is not that dissimilar?
It isn't, in that we are, like them, towing something off the back end of the ship on the end of a very long cable. But they were using a more of a visual-based sonar system and a very narrow swath-width sonar, whereas we have an enormous swath-width sonar. So, you know, Titanic took them 40 days to find it. In that water depth where they were working, we could find it with this equipment in about 3 days, covering the same area. So we've got, you know, a big advantage.
But the mountainous seabed is going to pose a problem?
A big problem, yeah. We know it's a problem. Just how bad it is, we won't know till we really see it on our systems.
But all you'll be seeing is a blip. You're not going to actually see the way the ship is lying or anything like that, are you?
Well,
we
interpret the blips, and that tells us things like how the ship is lying.
So there's no visual equipment on board?
It's not visual. It's sonar image. Probably the closest thing that I can compare it to is a doctor looking at an X-ray. You know, he's looking at a bunch of black and white shades and things like that. But he's interpreting it. He's saying, well, there's a bone and that's fractured or this or that. He's looking at sea things. And we are doing the same things. We're looking at sonar images that are colors on the screen. And to us, those colors are representative of what we're seeing on the seabed. And from that, we'll be able to see whether it's a shipwreck or a pile of rocks or a muddy seabed or, anything else.
All right. I know you're busy. Last question. We all know about David Mearns, the shipwreck hunter, but who is David Mearns, the person? Where have you come from? What's life like when you're not on board a vessel looking for boats underwater?
Well, life this year has been all about Centaur. It's a full-time job and more than just an eight-hour job. You really fully immerse yourself in these projects. This is my fifth trip to Australia this year alone, and it's a long way to travel from London. And I've got a very young family, tomorrow's my son's birthday, which I'm going to miss that. And they may miss their daddy on Christmas, but they know what daddy does. And we get through it, because hopefully at the end of this, if we're successful, we'll have a lot of time together.
I hope you're back by Christmas, David Mearns. Thank you for giving me some time. Smooth sailing.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Good luck.